Matthew chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 9, titled, So Much and So Little. This text that I'll deal with this morning, that is titled, So Much in So Little, it led me to think about food. Not just any food, but a particular food. If you would, allow me to take you back to your days of youth. And if your childhood was any like most folk, it was a childhood when someone mentioned food, one of the things that always came to mind was rice.
Amen.
If your upbringing was like Rick's upbringing, it was an upbringing in which every time Gladys cooked, it was rice and chicken,
yep.
Rice for breakfast,
yep.
Rice for lunch,
yes.
Rice for dinner,
yep.
Rice and gravy,
yep.
Rice and beans,
yep.
Rice and cornbread,
yep.
Rice and rice,
yep.
Just rice. What amazed me is how she could get so much out of a little bag of rice. I think the truth be told about most of us is that we're tired of rice.
Thank you, Lord.
All the time we're eating rice, and every time we go to the dinner table, it's, Mom, you cook rice again? Maybe that's all I have. And as a child, you can't wrap your mind around that's all that we have. Because somehow you think that life should be like something else. It is so easy for us to jump over the little things, a bag of rice, and to begin to desire something else. But sometimes, all the time, God knows just what you need.
Amen.
So God quite often will put us in a place in which God begins to deal with us. And as God begins to deal with us, what God will show us is that the stuff that shines, the stuff that we think is so good, really isn't good for us. The truth of the matter is, some of the things that we eat has no value whatsoever to our bodies. We just eat them. Somehow, eating rice, it supplies your body with everything that you need. Jesus began to teach his disciples how to get so much out of so little. Now, for you that know your Bible, you know that there are 66 books in the Bible. 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament, 66 books. For you that really know me, know I'm kind of anal. Don't agree with that.
Amen.
I was curious. So I counted the words in the prayer. Do you know it's 66 words? I was shocked. Someone said that the Bible attests or agrees, say amen, to itself. I began to think 66 books in the Bible, 66 words that is found in the prayer, God, what are you saying to us? How can you tell us that if we pray in this manner, 66 words, and it could change your life? Isn't that amazing that there is so much in so little? Jesus was trying to show his disciples that don't pray like the hypocrites. Those that always stand up and they pray the loudest. And you know, some people just have beautiful prayers. And you say, if I can pray like them, woo, everything will be okay. But God is not interested in the sound of your prayer. He's interested in your spirit when you pray. And so God begins to share with his disciples how to pray. Now, I can only imagine these disciples that are there with Jesus, walking with Jesus, think they got it going on, and then come to find out they don't know how to pray. Sometimes in church, I say to people, pray about it. And they step back and they say, okay. And in their mind, in their heart, it's, I don't know how to pray. See, sometimes we assume that people are here and they're really over here.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that they are beneath you. It just means they just don't know. The Bible declares that we perish for the lack of knowledge. And so sometimes we come to church, we get real holy, and we begin to preach on revelation, but we've jumped over the simplicity of God's word is, how do I pray? How do I get in your presence? Because until I can come in your presence, nothing else really begins to tear down walls. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, now when you pray, listen to me carefully. He says, when you pray, pray after this. And the prayer is our Father. Father alludes to relationship. So he says, when you begin to pray, what you have to understand is for me to hear, to answer your prayer, we must be in a relationship together. See, I can't pray my brother if you're not my brother, or my sister if you're not my sister. So God is saying, if you are a sinner and you're talking about our Father, he says, I'm not your daddy. So the first thing that he deals with is relationship. Our Father, which are in heaven. Then he says, hallowed be thy name. He moves from relationship so that we understand to reverence him.
Amen.
Now, the prophet Isaiah, don't get alarmed when I say this. The prophet Isaiah says about God, says, holy and reverence is his name. And he'll share with no one. You like to say about a preacher, Reverend, this. What's holy about a man? Nothing. See, God is saying, I am Reverend. And he says, hallowed. Holy is me. So he moves you from relationship to reverence. He says, hallowed be thy name. Then he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Relationship, reverence, thy will to understand he is the ruler. Watch what he's doing. You enter into a relationship, you find out who you're in relationship with, reverencing God. And then once you discover that, he says, now you got to understand I'm the ruler. So when we pray, what we say is, thy will be done. When we say to God, thy will, we're saying, here, have my life, you get to rule it. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? You are the ruler of my life. Thy will be done. What is it that that you have for me to do. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You get it? Then he says, give us. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us everything. So now he moves to a place of restoration. In life, you're going to lose some things. But he says, when you pray, understand restoration is in your prayer. So when you come to me and say, give us, not tomorrow, this day. In other words, do you trust me to give you just what you need today, not worried about tomorrow? All of our worries, our fears, our concern is over what may happen tomorrow. Half of the stuff that we worry about never manifests.
Amen.
And so God is saying, you got to take this thing day by day. In other words, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need today. I'm not worried about my tomorrow because I know who has my tomorrow.
Yes.
So give me what I need today. If I live to see tomorrow, I know you'll do it all over again. You'll restore it all over again.
Yes.
Give us this day our daily bread. He moves then from restoration. He says in verse number 12, and forgive us of our debt. He moves from restoration to release.
Thank you, Lord.
Forgiveness is about releasing things. So he says, forgive us of our debt as the same way I forgive my haters, my enemies, my backbiters. And God, what I'm really saying to you, if I'm not Christian enough to forgive them, you have permission not to forgive me. So he says, I need for you to understand, I need for you to release them so that I can release you.
Thank you, Lord.
He moves from relationship to reverence to rule to restore, and then he says, release, forgive those as you want me to forgive you. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation. In other words, he then touched on resistance to understand when you say, God, lead us not into temptation, he's saying you got to resist the devil, then he'll flee.
Amen.
But if you say whatever, he's not going to go anywhere. So he's saying, you got to understand that you have inside of you to resist the devil. Now, I know I'm being very elementary, but if we get prayer, we get power. If we get prayer, we get breakthrough. If we get prayer, we get healing. If we get prayer, we get everything that we need. So sometimes we need to take our time and get it. Now, what I want you to understand about this prayer is that the first half of the prayer is a prayer in which we are talking to God about God. The second half of the prayer, after we got right with God, he says, now deal man to man. We are often trying to go to God without getting it right on this earth. How are we going to live together in heaven and you hate me on earth? It ain't going to happen. Somebody ain't going if you can't release. Now, he moves. He moves relationship, reverence, rule, restore, release, and then he deals with resistance. Now, after all of that, the things that we have to do, now the closing part of the prayer is kind of unique. After he tell us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for, then he says, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That portion of the prayer determines if we get our breakthrough. That portion of the prayer is rejoicing. Now, he walks us through how to pray, how to talk to him, how to get a breakthrough with him. And he says, now, when you finish praying, rejoice. Now, when you get up from praying these little 66 words, on earth, nothing has happened. Your situation is still the same, but he's saying you will get so much from so little words. See, sometimes we're going through something and we think we have to use all these vain words, all this repetitious stuff, and sending God over here and ordering him over there. I thank God in my time of need, I can just pray unto him, tell him what's on my heart. And even if I don't use these 66 words, thank God he knows all about me. In the midst of going through something, God is saying, will you call upon my name? When you begin to call upon the name of God, what he is saying is that you realize that he is sovereign. Now, for God to be sovereign means that God is in control of everything. I am praying to God not to tell God new information. I am praying to God so I can say to him what he said to me.
Amen.
I don't pray to God and God says, I didn't know that. If God is sovereign, which he is, it means that God has total knowledge, total control of everything. Then how can a loving God allow us to go through so much hell? That's just it. He allows you to go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thine art with me. Your rod and your staff, in other words, your faith and your word, comfort me. Have you ever been going through something? You had nothing else, but you had one word that you could hold on to. You had one little seed of a grain of a mustard seed, one little grain of faith that you can hold on to, and somehow God led you through what you were going through. God is saying, when we come to him and we pray unto him, when we begin to petition him, he says, then I move because I'm sovereign. I move because I'm in control. And when we understand that God is in control, what we understand about prayer is that prayer comforts us. In the midst of going through something, I still have a blessed assurance that it's going to be all right. Go ahead, take the car if you like, but I'm still okay. Go ahead, even if sickness come in my body, I'm still going to be okay. If I live, I'm a testimony to just how wonderful God is. If I die, I know where I'm going. However it go, I'm all right. See, prayer is comforting. When we pray, we release to God and say, God, I'm trusting you. Now tell me what you want me to do. Because I've already prayed to you, let your will be done. See, sometimes it is the will of God for you to suffer. Sometimes that's his will. Now, how can God be loving and allow us to suffer? Because suffering doesn't separate us from God. Suffering brings you closer to God. That's why when Satan thinks that he is pushing you away from God, God says, you meant it for evil, but I meant it for good. That's why we have the blessed assurance of knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. I know what you tried to do, but I know what God did at the very end. I know you tried to stop me, but God used that experience to elevate me. I know you tried to get me fired, but God turned that thing around and I got a promotion over here. I know you tried to take the house, but God flipped that thing around. Somehow the bank lost the papers and now the house is paid for. Oh. understand that He is sovereign. And so in the midst of you going through something, you need to remember God is at work. See, the Bible says He never sleeps, never slumber. So when you're going through something and you don't like it, know that that's really when He's at work. Because when you are weak, that's when His grace manifests. That's when His grace show up. And so you begin to go through something and you understand a sovereign God is at work. When the sovereign God is at work, understand God then will begin to stretch you. Now, when God begins to stretch you, relax. Sometimes you're watching television and the announcer comes on and he says, "This is only a test."
All right.
He can be talking about a hurricane, talking about a thunderstorm, talking about whatever, but when he told you it was only a test, you said, "It's okay." God is saying to somebody, you're going through something, but it's only a test. Don't worry about whatever else they're saying. It's only a test. God is saying, it's only a test.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, the wonderful thing about a test is that if I showed up in class,
yes,
if I showed up in life,
yes,
if I'm still living, if I've had some experiences, then I know the material to cover the test.
All right.
Yes.
See, sometimes even when you're taking a test and you don't know, sometimes C really is the best answer. Sometimes Christ really is the best answer when you're going through something. I may not know what you know, but I know Jesus. I may know not how to do this, but I know if I check with Jesus in the midst of a test, He'll make everything all right. Have you ever been going through something and raised that guard, but you need to check in? And Jesus says, just mark me right now. Just tell me about your faith right now. And you messed around and say, God, I'm calling upon your name. God will show up in the midst of your mess. He's a sovereign God. And because He's sovereign, He allows some things and He begins to stretch us, but it's just a test. What God knows about you and wants to remind us about ourselves is that He knows what's inside of you.
Thank you, Lord.
If you knew who you really is.
All right. Okay.
You got to hear what I'm saying. If you knew,
all right,
who you really is.
Okay.
I'm not talking about who you're going to be. I'm talking about who you are right now.
All right.
He says about you, He says, I created you in my image. And if you're a woman, He says, I took the time and I detail your tail. I spent some time with you. Adam. He says, I formed Adam. I took some dirt. I lay Adam down. I just played him together. Yeah, all right, you're good. But He says, Eve, the mother, the one that's gone, birthed some stuff. Babe, I got to take some time with you. I got to make sure everything is right with you. Because I know what you're going to do. You're going to birth something out. When everything else is dead, I can go to Eve because she's still got a seed that she can birth. That's why He knows what He placed inside of you. And He says, if you knew who you is, He says, because I formed you, fashioned you in my image.
Yes.
And then He says, now greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes.
If you stop looking looking at you.
Right.
And stop looking at your weakness.
Right.
But begin to look at your daddy's strength.
Yeah.
You don't understand who you is. Yeah. We're looking at ourselves in the wrong way. We're looking based off what our abilities are. And he says, it's not about your ability. It's about my attitude toward you.
Right.
You got to understand, I understand your weakness. But when you pray, I exchange your weakness for my strength. Your weakness for my glory. Your weakness for my healing. Your weakness for my salvation. Your weakness for my grace. Now come on and give him some praise. Begins to exchange. You gotta understand that the exchange is not taking place here. It took place on Calvary. And so he says, I'm sovereign. I'm gonna stretch you, but I've already substituted. I took out of you and put me in. And so what you going through, you gotta know, I never leave you. I never forsake you. You gotta know, I know what I'm taking you through. And you feel like you're gonna faint. But baby, just stand on my word. When everything is going bad, just stand on my word. When everybody walk out of your life, just stand on my word. He says, friends may walk out. He says, but I'm a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Isn't it good to know that Jesus is on the main line? All you gotta do is call him up and tell him what you want. He says there's a substitute, and the substitute happened on Calvary. In other words, he says, now I became you and you became me. So abide. Abide. God, I love you, but do you know the hell that I'm going through? And he said, I lie. What I want you to do is just abide. You mean just sit down and wait on you? He said, yeah. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. But God, do you know what's going on all around me? He says, yeah. He says, but I'm in control. But God, do you know what I need? Don't you know I've already supplied your needs? But God, only if you knew what my haters were trying to do. And he says, didn't I tell you that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper? He says, just abide. How can I stand in the storm? And he says, on Calvary, it was more than just death, burial, and resurrection. He says, on Calvary, listen, when he stretched forth on an old rugged cross, the Bible declares he released his blood. Every time God looks at you, you gotta get this. He can't see you if you and him, because he's wearing some sunglasses called Jesus Christ. You gotta get that thing right there. When he looks at you, he cannot judge your sins again because you volunteered to have your sins judged when you received Christ as your personal Savior. So he don't need to go there again. BJ, on earth you call it double jeopardy. But because I've died one time, I can't die again.
All right.
When you go into the water, that's your death.
All right.
You can't die again. So the Bible declares to be absent from the body. When they roll your body down here, when they roll the casket down here, isn't it wonderful to know you're not even here? Isn't it good to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? You sit down there and cry over me if you want to. I ain't coming back. I took care of that, and I did it with the blood. You know the the blood. The blood that flows to the highest of mountains. However big your problem is, he says, I can get that blood up there. You want to break some yokes? Plead the blood over it. You want to be released from something? Plead the blood of the Lamb over it. You want to be delivered from something? Plead the blood of the Lamb. Because the blood flows to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest of valleys. I don't care how low you feel today. I don't care how many times life has knocked you down. You need to know you're still covered by the blood of the Lamb. If I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb, I still got power. I still got will. I still got hope. I still got faith. You're going through. You feel weak. You feel like giving up. He says, the blood, it will never it will never lose its power. I don't care how many times you fell down, the blood will never lose its power. I don't care how many times you backslid into the world. He says the same blood that brought you the first time is the same sustaining blood that will lift you again and again and again and again and again. And the Bible declares that a good man falleth down 7 times, but he gets back up because he understands the blood that is over his life. He understands the power that is over his life. He understands that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus took 66 words and he says, here, I'll turn this world upside down if you'll tell me back those 66 words. So much and so little. Now let me say this in closing. Watch it. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he was still on earth. This is in the book of Matthew. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, on and on and on. That's what he said in chapter number 6. At the latter part of the book of Matthew, he says, I'm going to go away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll leave you with the Holy Spirit. In the meantime, this is how you pray. Now, when Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit descended. The Holy Spirit came to be a comforter. And the Holy Spirit also came to be an intercessor. In other words, if you're going through something and you don't remember all 66 words, he says, if you just say 2 words, thou knowest.
Thank you, Lord.
You didn't get that. He says, now you got the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what to pray, just say, God, thou knowest. The Holy Spirit grabs thou knowest and said, she needs a house. And she needs a car. And she needs healing. And she needs grace. And she needs mercy. And he needs salvation. And he needs faith. And she needs deliverance. God says, thou knowest what you need. Thou knowest. thy noise. Come on and stand with me as we close this morning. I want to talk to somebody who's here and you don't know. You're trying to figure it out, and God is saying, let me make you over again. Can I make you over? God is saying, I know. He's saying, I know. And if I know, he says, if you trust me, I'll make you all over again. He says, I'll take little old you, and I'll do so much with you if you let me have my way with you. With everyone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, we open the doors of the church. We want to invite you to come to Jesus as you are, because he wants to make you over again. He wants to take everything that you don't like, every weakness, every flaw, and he wants to make you over. He wants to give you a life-changing experience right now. Right now. Let that will be done. Let your will be done. Have you been praying that prayer? Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I'm going through something. And he says, let my will be done. Stop fighting. Let my will be done. If you're here this morning and you don't have a church home, or maybe you do, God is pressing on your heart to unite here. Or maybe you never received Christ as your personal Savior, and God is speaking and dealing with your spirit today. Come on while the blood is running warm in your veins, and let God make you over again. He wants to make you over. Let him make you over. Let him have his way with you. He says, if you take one step of faith, he says, I'll do the rest. Just one step. Just one step of faith. He says, if you are ashamed, embarrassed of me in earth, on judgment day, I'll be embarrassed and ashamed of you. Wouldn't let what people think about me stop me from getting to God this morning.